This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Had a dream, or was it real? We crossed the line, and it was on.
We crossed the line, it was on this time.
I've been denying how I feel, you've been denying what you want.
You want the me, talk to me, baby.
I want some satisfaction, take me to the stars. Just like,
no more hesitations, this is on.
Can't make it stop, give me all you got.
I want it all or nothing, no more in between, now give you
everything to me, let's get real baby.
A chemical reaction, take me in your arms and make me
I'm
can I take another look at you? God, hey, look at me. Can I take another look at you? Guys, what is up? It is So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. I am so effing pleased to be doing a Monday episode that is released on Monday. Now, the last couple of weeks have been very challenging for me, and I'm glad to say I think I'm, knock on this bed that I'm laying in, 95% back. I've been sick, and it's, I gotta tell you, man, there is nothing like having your health. I know that sounds like an obvious statement, but when you don't have your health, it just makes everything seem so impossible. I wouldn't have been able to get the joy out of that Star Is Born mashup. Of course, also, you have Carly Rae Jepsen remixed with Africa by Toto. You don't get, I had to do double mashup just because I want us to get this. I want to have double the week of goodness this week because my last 2 weeks have been complete shit for the most part. So we've got to make this the best week ever. I feel good. It's Sunday night. I feel good. Do you guys feel, I think you might feel good too. Hopefully we're on the, what if people are like, shut the fuck up right now. I don't feel good at all. Just do your little jokes and let's get to Sophie. Let's get to this pop culture roundup. We'll get there in a second. And just to remind everybody, this is how the show works. There's timestamps. If you don't like the glorious, singing vocals of Mr. Bradley Cooper and Miss Lady Gaga, then you can say like, oh, we'll start the show at 5 minutes and 30 seconds. If you want the timestamp for Sophie Ross, you'll get that in the show notes. So that's how the show works. This show is me. My name is Ryan. Hi, if you're joining us for the first time, thank you. Thank you for coming. This is truly a passion of mine. This is truly what I want the rest of my life to be about, is doing things like this and talking to you guys. And it takes some sickness to even kind of nail that in even further of just like, man, I hope I can feel good enough to do this because I get such joy out of it. In fact, I gotta rush through this a little. I'm not going to rush through it a lot, but I'll rush through it a little bit because I got to wake up at like 6 a.m. to interview somebody. That's how dedicated I am, folks. And it's completely self-serving because I probably get way more out of it than you do. But like, how cool. I have to wake up early. Like I have, it's like finals all over again. Like I have to set two alarms in case I don't, like, you know, like imagine like, what if I wake up like 5 minutes before the interview and then I have to, I don't know, it's just very exciting. And I can't wait for you guys to find out who I'm waking up early to speak to. This week, we got a great week, folks. If this is the week to tell your, I think this might be the week to tell your friends about. You know, maybe you're like, I've been keeping an eye on Ryan. I don't know if I want to recommend him yet, but maybe this is the week you do it because we might have some Watch What Crappens guys on this week. We might have the directors of that Lula Rich, the LuLaRoe documentary. We got some surprises in store. And of course, we got Beverly Hills recap on Friday, baby. It's me, Leisha. I was a host at the Emmy. I did the E! Red Carpet for E! And I was drunk the whole time. Also, I'm on Cameo now. In fact, I woke up early so I could go do cameos in front of Sutton's store in West Hollywood, which is just so funny because I realize I'm doing it in front of a camera. So they must just like, who is this? Who is this guy? And if it's one of those cameras that has the sound, you just hear me go, I say, I'm Sutton in front of Sutton's store. Can you imagine the poor people? There's probably going to be some kind of picture of like, do not let this man in this vicinity anymore. Hey, that's fine, Sutton. You can't keep me out, baby. But if you do, I'll go right down to Tom Tom and I'll start recording there or in the Sur Alleyway or in Buca di Beppo. By the way, Sutton Strack is on Watch What Happens Live again this week. And somebody pointed out on Twitter, Dorit has not been on at all this season. And Sutton has been on three times. How the mighty have fallen. Wow. Isn't that fascinating, though? I don't know. That's just weird. Does Andy just not? I don't want to start bad blood, but does Andy just not like Dorit? We got a lot to. Also, if you can leave a good review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that would be great. I will share with you guys, the audience, I do have, and Sophie Ross, my co-host on Mondays, who I adore and I really think is a very brilliant woman that I really love to highlight because I do love how she highlights a female voice, but also just male, female, all that. I just think she's just dead on, laser-like on some of her takes. But I have, you know, she has a lot of people, not a lot of people, she has a couple people that are very anti-Sophie Ross. And I get threatening emails sometimes. And I did a Patreon episode with my friend Meditza Lopez, who does all the graphics. It's just, she's an amazing woman herself. But we did like a 2-hour episode on Patreon because I have been slacking on my Patreon while I was sick. Hello, baddies. Hi. I'm going all over the place. It's fine, folks. I get threatening, like somebody wrote me on Friday saying, like, if you have to get that piece of trash Sophie Ross off your podcast, what do you have to say for yourself? And like these, I've had this same kind of email a couple of times, and it never seems like they actually listen to the show, because my simple thing, and I say this with the show in general, because I put out so much content, if you don't like Sophie, which I think... the majority, I mean, just, I'm talking 99% does, you know, don't listen to Sophie. I put out so much content and I pride myself on that, that hopefully you can find something you like in that week, you know, but to threaten me or to threaten Sophie, I feel like that is such bad class. And it doesn't actually make me think it's an actual listener of mine. It's just somebody that potentially follows Sophie around because of certain takes she has on Twitter. But also this person said, well, I'm going to also leave you a bad review on iTunes if you don't get rid of her. So that's what I'm up against, folks. You have people that are allowed to just leave bad reviews and to threaten me basically over an email. And I think that is kind of, and pardon my French, kick the kids out of the car. I'll give you a second. Okay, are they out? That's really shitty behavior. Like, who raised you? For real. Like, also, if you have an issue, don't threaten me. You give no actual examples of why you dislike somebody. You just say to get rid of it. Like, do I have something to answer for myself? Yeah, I have 10 hours of content a week that answers for myself. And I am so sorry. But like, that really bums me out, because the majority of everybody that listens are so fucking awesome. Like, that's why I was like, there's no way this person listens to the show, because they would just know, oh, I'll just skip that show. This guy has way too much content anyways. But anyways, so if you can, leave a good review. Obviously, I'm combating people now that just have beefs with certain people on my podcast, which is just so bizarre. Like, what world are you living in? Anyways, I wanted to mention that, because there is humor in that, but it's also really scary, because you're like, that's just, you know, we put so much work into this that just because you don't like one thing, you'll give a bad review. And then, like, I don't know what you, I guess you, anyways, I'm going to stop talking about that. How are you guys? Are you guys good? I wanted to tell you a recommendation. I was watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, episode 2 of season 2, and it was great. I was watching the Mary Cosby scenes in particular, and this lady, also, she does have a podcast, which she brought up on episode 1, and my friend found it, and there's 4 episodes, and Mary's not in any of them. In fact, it is one of the biggest pranks I've ever, because it'll be like, Mary Cosby's coming on up, and the whole episode, Mary Cosby never comes on up. It is one of the weirdest things I've ever listened to in my life. Like, you'll keep fast forward, and you're like, Mary's right around the corner, and then they'll be like, well, that was a great episode of Mary's podcast, and you're like, what is going on? It's a fascinating way to run a podcast, and I'm taking notes. I'm like, literally, wouldn't it be great to do So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey without Ryan Bailey? And I just have like my parents be like, he's right around the corner. Just wait. Ryan is he's in the bathroom, and I hear him coming out of the shower. You're about to hear the stylings of Ryan Bailey. Like, that would be amazing. And I just never show up for any episodes like that. Anyways. What I love about her is I went and saw a movie in a movie theater. I think there was like 10 of us in the movie theater. And in LA, you wear masks during, which I'm very happy to wear a mask. And you can pick out your seat. So we were sitting near no one. But I saw The Eyes of Tammy Faye, which is about Tammy Faye Baker. If you don't know her, there's a great documentary called, I believe, The Eyes of Tammy Faye as well. But Jessica Chastain plays Tammy Faye Baker, and she is a kind of a disgraced televangelist from the 80s, her and her husband, Jim Baker, her husband at the time. But Tammy Faye Baker was kind of this, had an amazing, not resurgence, but a whole kind of second career, especially in the gay community. And she was kind of an icon, and she had such a good heart. And this Jessica Chastain just knocks it out of the park with this performance. It reminded me of, like, you know, I come from an acting background, and sometimes with performances, you know, I'll still get that itch of like, I'm not like I could play Tammy Faye Baker, of just like, man, that must have been so much fun for Jessica Chastain. And I got to tell you, Andrew Garfield, the actor as Jim Baker, he has a much less showy role, I guess, compared to Tammy Faye, but still such a great performance. He really made it his own for somebody that doesn't look like Jim Baker at all. And I just geeked out on the performances, and I was really blown away that Michael Showalter, one of the cast members of the comedy troupe The State, if you guys remember that show from MTV, which is like 20 years old now, he directed this. And I'm just like, because I thought it was a really well done movie as well. So hats off to that whole crew. It was just a really, really great movie. And it was just really nice to see a movie in the theater and to see such great performances. But it also reminded me of Mary Cosby, because it was, you know, she's not exactly Tammy Faye-esque, but there is something, when you speak to the Lord, you know, I think it leaves you open for a lot of interesting takes in life. And I'm not passing judgment, but it is very interesting. So that is a recommendation. Real quick too, before I, if you've been a longtime listener, you know how much I loved the movie A Star Is Born. Like, I was like, Bradley Cooper, I've always said, it's, you know, they'll look back decades later and say that is literally the best performance by a beard in the history of movies. His beard in that movie looked so magnificent, and I grew my beard because of him, and it's never been nearly as magnificent. And he embodied that. I'm not like, I saw A Star Is Born in the theaters by myself. I cried. Yeah. I was totally swept away by the romance. No, I'm not. I was totally swept away. Listened to the soundtrack all the time. Was just, when they performed at the Oscars, I was like, look at that. Look at that. And I would always do like, gotta take another look at you. Hey, just want to take another look at you. Like, I loved the lilt, you know, when he was like, you fucking stupid. And he pissed his pants at the award show. Remember? Now I'm just going to walk. Hey, you guys remember when they were outside of the grocery store and they wrote that song together? I just loved the whole thing. But it reminded me, and I threatened to read this email since the very first podcast, is that my best friend, Nick Wegner, he is a genius writer, producer of the show American Dad, just the best guy, but also very opinionated. And back when A Star Is Born came out, I was on this email thread with him and our buddy Joe, who also works on American Dad. And he just kept saying, I hated that movie. And I was like, and I said, Joe, can you believe Nick doesn't believe in romance? And so finally, I didn't expect this. This was actually very delightful to get. Let's see, when this was December 6th, 2018, 3:32 p.m. I remember I was at my job when this email came in, and he writes, you're pulling me in, Bailey, ... And he wrote in parentheses, spoilers, Joe, I'd stop reading now if I were you. Also, I'd stop reading if I were you too, Ryan. A Star Is Born, the movie, was not about romance, exclamation point, he writes. It was about male power structures and addiction. The only reason Lady Gaga had to love him was because he gave her a break and then emotionally manipulated her. Otherwise, I found no reason for her to love him. When they kissed, his mouth was full of liquor, cigarettes, and probably vomit. When they had sex, it was gross and fast, and they never shared another scene where they seemed to enjoy each other. But she was supposed to stay with him because he gave her a break on her career and was willing to look past her gross nose, which we later learn even he doesn't like. Parentheses, thought she would leave him then, but no, she couldn't for some reason, I guess, quote unquote, love. I guess I was a fool because I thought it was her movie and she'd eventually get free of him and move on. Every time he did something bad, I waited for her to leave him in the dust. But no, she went back and made me angry. God, I hated him. His music was horrible, too. Why not cast Dwight Yoakam or someone that can sing? Wait, by the way, what is Nick fucking Dwight Yoakam? This isn't the 80s. But in the end, we learned that if some gross piece of shit takes a chance on you, you're his property for life. Extra points. When the movie starts, no one is going to his shows, even though he's the most famous country singer in the history of the world. I'm I'm basing that off a black woman at an LA grocery store in the movie recognizing him, which would only happen to Blake Shelton or Garth Brooks today, and they'd have no problem filling the Greek theater, which he couldn't do one scene later. And he's from a pecan farm in Arizona, which they film in the desert by the windmills in Palm Desert without a pecan tree within 100 miles, which infuriated me. I'll stop now. Please don't tell anyone I said these things, because everyone is supposed to like this movie and the USA and strong men that can't help idiot women succeed despite their natural talents. But it felt good to get this out. Oh, you know what? And that's why I love Nick, man. What? I still love A Star Is Born, but also I love the fact that the email's kind of true. I you're like, Ryan, I knew this 2 years ago, but Bradley Cooper really was a piece of shit. And Lady Gaga was forced to be with him, and the only way out, like, no, and also spoiler alert, if you haven't seen A Star Is Born, he kills himself at the end, and it's like, I guess that's the only way Lady Gaga could have get, which is dark, but that's the only way anyways. But I wanted, this is no joke, one of my favorite emails I've ever gotten, and I wanted to share it with you guys, because I share everything with you guys, and I'd heard that, I did this Star Is Born mashup, so I was like, oh, this will be perfect. I can read that to these guys finally. So, I got to figure out, do you guys want me to recap? So now we got so many good shows on. We got Potomac, we got Salt Lake. I already recapped Beverly Hills. And then Vanderpump Rules, we talk about in the podcast today with Sophie, comes back not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. And I got to recap that. So I got to figure out what's Patreon, what's here, maybe break it up into smaller segments and just do a day of like a podcast or recaps. I don't know, you guys. Anyways, this is such an exciting problem to have because we're really on to some magnificent TV. Also, the Emmys were tonight. I found out Evan Peters from Mayor of Easttown, he won an Emmy, and I thought that guy was British. Like, every actor now, I assume, is British. And then he went up to accept the award. He had an American accent, and I was like, fuck yeah, man. Go USA. We did it. Like all of our parts get thrown to British actors because they're kind of better, you know, and especially, and it frustrates the hell out of me with the act. It's like a lot of English actors, like American actors, we don't get to go over to, you know, England and do English accents. They would laugh us out of town. So, Evan, congratulations. We also got a lot of awards for Ted Lasso, The Queen, of course, blah, blah, blah. Michaela Cole, she won, and we talk about her in the beginning of this podcast. What a beautiful, talented woman she is. I'll probably talk a little bit about the Emmys a little bit more on Tuesday, but I wanted to, and also congrats to Danny Pellegrino, our friend who hosted an E after the show on E. He hosted an after the show thing, which he was way better than Lisa Rinna. Period. Danny should have done before and after. So congratulations. I mean, that what a person. For all of us in podcasting or anybody that loves entertainment, they're really, you know, he's a groundbreaking person in what we do. So it's really kind of jaw dropping and well deserved all of the amazing things that are coming his way. Because also his book just went on pre-order, I think on Thursday or Friday too, and you're just like, holy shit, amazing! I'm like, I can't even get out of bed some days. That's incredible. Okay, that's it, you guys. I think we got plenty of time to talk later in the week. But here she is, my friend, my co-host on Mondays doing the Pop Culture Roundup. We talk about everything, folks. We talk about Bethany Frankel ratting out Erica Jane. We talk about a little bit about the Emmys before they aired, of course. We talk about Salt Lake. We talk about Demi Lovato. We talk about Dear Evan Hansen. We talk about Lil Nas X. We talk about it all. These are the funnest podcasts to do. They always are too short for me. And also remember, halfway through, you're going to hear a couple commercials. Try to support them if you can, because that's what we're trying to do, is I'm trying to build my own thing here. So hopefully we can make that happen together. And I will talk to you guys on Tuesday. I'm so happy to be back. Pray that I wake up for my alarm tomorrow. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Monday episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Mondays, we are back to normal. It is our pop culture roundup with my co-host, the wind beneath my wings, the wind beneath all of our wings. Not only is she a talented writer, I was just thinking today while I was watching Emmys coverage, we should be doing Emmys coverage out there on the red carpet. I would love to tag team some of these stars with Miss Sophie Ross. Sophie, welcome back to the show.
That sounds like a dream gig. Let's make it happen.
Well, we can't be worse than I swear to God, I was watching E for some reason. I flipped on E, and all of a sudden, before I even saw, I heard the crown, the crown. And I was like, fucking Lisa Rinna. She was on the red carpet, and it was her and Brad Goreski and this other lady just kissing each other's asses for like two. And I couldn't look away. It was like a car crash.
She makes me sick.
Well, but by the way, I know in me, I know deep down it means I'm a dark-hearted person. I know that. But she's just grating. She's so grating.
She's the devil.
She goes, I would love to be on SNL. And Brad was like, you totally should, Lisa. You're amazing. And I'm like, Brad, do you understand what SNL is? It's sketch comedy. If somebody would do a Lisa Rinna character, Lisa Rinna would never be on SNL. It made me so angry.
Can we not encourage her? Like, please.
It's just that, like, that, and this is Lisa Rinna aside, like, it's any of those award shows we've all grown up with is just the constant. It's like you have to kiss the most ass of your co-hosts and anybody you're talking about. And I'm totally ready for my opportunity to do that. But it was like, Brad was like, What period of time would you guys like to be in if you could go back? And Lisa was like, I think the 40s, the 1940s. And I'm like, did they have jacked up fucking lips in the 40s? Is that where you think you would
be? Like, literally during World War II.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's World War II of like, Nurse Rinna's here. Like,
and Harry Hamlin gets deployed.
Well, and by the way, she told the old Versace Harry Hamlin, do you know that's me with Miss Delilah when Versace made me that dress for the Emmys? Miss Delilah was in my belly. And it was so, and I was like, the story changes a little bit each time because the story was a little different when she told it on Housewives. And she goes, and Harry Hamlin, he took a screwdriver and he made the dress fit my body for Miss Delilah. I'm constantly drinking. I am drinking all the time now. She did look amazing, though. I will say she did look amazing, but all I could picture was her in Depends diapers the whole time. It was just like, I don't need to take a break, Brad. I can go the whole way through. I'm literally pissing myself.
She's just like so inauthentic. Like, she's just so fake and phony and like, I can't stand her.
But at the same time, I couldn't look away. I didn't change the channel. Like, I was so locked in. And that just, what does it say that I'm starting to watch more TV that I hate than that I love? And it's like doing the same thing for me. It fuels me, you know?
I don't know. For me, I'm like, usually I'm super into the E! Red carpet coverage, but I'm kind of just like keeping up on like Twitter and stuff. I'm not really like, you know, I feel like it's just gotten worse every year. Again, it's like, I like Brad Goreski. Like, I like him. He's fine. Rinna, no thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm excited. I mean,
yeah. And there was like,
what?
Well, I'm just saying we had the Met Ball last week. So what are we really going to, like, I mean, we already had Kim Kardashian in a black trash bag over her face. Like, what else are we going to get tonight that is going to blow us off our coal mining asses to be like, well, that really just made my weekend. Like, what could possibly happen fashion wise tonight that any of us would care about, you know?
Yeah. I'm like excited to see the looks. I'll see them on Twitter. Yeah, I really want, there are a lot of good people nominated. Like, it's like a good year.
It's a great year for TV. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Kate Winslet in Mare of Easttown versus Michaela Cole in I May Destroy You versus Anya Taylor-Joy in Queen's Gambit. Like,
dude, Michaela Cole looks like a beautiful statue. It's like her face is so perfect. Like, it's so stunning. If you guys don't know Michaela Cole, she did the show she wrote on HBO and acted in called I May Destroy You, which is one of the most intense shows I've ever watched. And she's actually going to be in the new Black Panther 2, but her face just looks so...
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know what to say. It's like...
She has incredible bone structure.
I mean, it's all bone structure. It's like...
Yeah.
What did Alicia Silverstone in Clueless say? She's... What was the verbiage? She's not a Betty, but... she's just stunning. Every time I see her, I'm just like, how could you, like, Michaela Cole could never play a normal person.
Yeah.
She's just too stunning looking, you know?
Yeah. She really does have just like, she's very statuesque and like stunning. She's going to look stunning tonight. I'm excited to see if she hasn't already like walked out on the red carpet. I don't know.
You mentioned Mayor of Easttown. They should give an award for best accent. Don't you think?
Oh my God. Water.
Yeah, but isn't it funny with the Emmys? I always think about the Oscars too. Is that like with the Grammys, they make the Grammy people go out and sing? Like they should make these fuckers act. Like they should make her like from a monologue from Mayor of Easttown, Kate Winslet, and they make her come out and do the monologue. Like, wouldn't that be dope?
That would be. I'd enjoy that, a live monologue from Kate Winslet. That would be. I would watch the Emmys if that were the case. Wait, who's hosting?
I don't know. I think they're doing one of those things again where it's like round robining with the, just, I don't think it has an actual host, which sucks.
Wait, it says Cedric the Entertainer.
No offense to Cedric the Entertainer. I just didn't know he was, you know.
I don't know if that's right, but that's what Google says. So we'll see. By the time everyone's listening to this, they'll be like, yeah, Cedric the Entertainer killed it.
Cedric
like,
killed it, you guys.
I'm just happy it's not freaking Jimmy Kimmel. I'm so Jimmy Kimmel hosting everything.
Well, you're a big Jimmy Fallon girl, so you're...
Yeah, just, Jimmy Fallon hive, rise up.
Oh, my God. So I guess a couple things that I needed to talk to you initially, and this is actually, this could be a serious conversation, and I'm still trying to figure out what I think about it, but we got a late Friday night announcement that Real Housewives of New York was not going further with their reunion. They cited scheduling difficulties, which they've said now 3 times in a row, and then as of Friday evening, they pulled the plug officially, and there's been a lot of discourse out there, and I guess I want to know what you think about it.
Oh my God. I mean, that's like unprecedented, first of all. And as you know, I've never been a huge Roni fan, not since like the early season. So like, I wasn't even that invested this season anyway, but like, first of all, how embarrassing for everyone.
And including the production company to let it go this far out of hand where they can't have a reunion. I really wouldn't be surprised if we see some changes even in the production company. I believe it's Shed Media. But if you go this far where you can't have a reunion, something's going on behind the scenes. And I think we know a couple of things, but that's ridiculous.
I know, it's absurd. So yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, people are saying that they're just trying to protect Ramona from being held accountable for like, you know, some of the, you know, racially charged comments and just ignorant shit she was spewing this past season.
What do you mean past season? The past 13 seasons. But you're right. It was more directed towards the issues of race this season, of course. But I don't know. Like I read so many comments, like, cause in my head I was like, and this is just from a white dude's perspective, which really kind of shows sometimes my ignorance, was that I was like, I've watched every episode this season, didn't like it. And it wasn't because of Ebony. It was just all flat. It didn't have any kind of, for me, any kind of emotional pull. It didn't feel like
there
anybody
were no,
got
like,
along.
Storylines.
And also I get that there was a pandemic season, but at the same time I was like, oh good, I don't have to watch this forced reunion between ladies that obviously don't get along. But then I was reading a lot of like my friends' opinions on Instagram and stuff. And you know, they really seem to feel like there needs to be closure and that Ramona and maybe other people, maybe Luann a little bit, need to answer for certain behaviors. But then I'm like, okay, well, we know how that would go. Like, first off, if Ebony is going to go up against Ramona or Luann, even if that pairing happens, Ebony will fucking school them. Like, she knows how to speak like nobody else. Like, that would be, we already know how that, like, for anybody watching New York going, I think Ramona's a genius until I saw that reunion. And then I realized what an idiot she was. Like, we already know what a fucking ignorant, but not even potential. Like, she really does exude racist qualities to me. And I hate to, I know she has a lot of fans, but like, you got to just look at the behavior, especially this season. Do we really, I guess my question is like, does Bravo owe that to us? Does it owe it to the viewers to go, well, we're going to put you up on the hot seat and you're going to pay for what you did this season? Because that's what I feel like Ramona and potentially Luann would be walking into.
Yeah, I mean, something needs to happen. If they're not going to have a reunion, Andy needs to have like a sit down, especially because she's...
That's what, like a Watch What Happens Live sit down, maybe, right? You know?
Right, because Ramona's going to be on, what's it called, All Stars or Ultimate Vacation.
Girls Trip or whatever, yeah. On Peacock, yeah.
Ultimate Vacation.
Ultimate, yeah. Ladies Trip.
Yeah, so like she's going to be back on TV and who knows what kind of cast shakeups they're going to do. But if they're going to bring her back for the next season, yeah, they need to hold her accountable in some way because her behavior was just like unacceptable. And it's, you know, kind of unacceptable that they're just kind of letting it fly instead of making her answer for it. At the same time, it's like Ramona is Ramona and this is who she is. I don't know how productive, you know, any of these conversations would be, but it's almost like, yeah, I feel like her time personally, I know that you don't think they're going to do any cast shakeups, but I think that, you know, personally, I think that her time has probably run its course. I think that, you know, it's just, I think that people want to get back to like the glamorous Upper East Side society women of New York, kind of like, I mean, I feel like Tinsley, like she's always been like a Page Six, like it girl, like yeah. Get more of like the cool society women on Roni instead of Ramona who just like shits everywhere. That's
well,
not
I mean,
glamorous.
You know, well, so I, you're right. I did say that thing about the no cast shakeup because I'm like, how would you shake up a cast if you don't even do a reunion? It's like, you can't let Ebony go because that would just be not fair to not like, and I don't think she's in jeopardy at all, but I will say I have thought of more over the weekend. And I do think like, whether it be Ramona or Ebony, Bravo should not be held hostage by any cast member. And especially, and I know this is sacrilegious because a lot of people have DM'd me after I said it, was that I do think at a certain point you have to cut and run. We've all had so many great memories with Ramona, Luann, Sonia, DeRip, but like nobody is above the show. And at a certain point, you got to make a change anyways. Ramona can't be on the show for 10 more years. You got to start looking to the future. And if the future is this bleak because of one person's behavior, then there's no, like, we see how quickly we make stars like Kathy Hilton or Heather Gay. It's like these people can be found and rather quickly. I sometimes feel it's laziness on the part of the production companies that aren't actually putting in the work to find interesting people. And they're relying on this bullshit like Ramona. And then they get themselves in trouble because then the fan base gets riled up. And it's like we then think it's not fair and it's not what's happening in society nowadays. I don't know, it's like a larger conversation, but at the end of the day, I just also think this was a horrible season. It just was.
Yeah. And I mean, if they're not gonna bring anything to the table anyway, like Luann, sorry, nothing, no storyline. Like I feel like I don't know. It's just it's time. I think for Luann, Sonia, and Ramona, I would say just cut the cord, especially like, yeah, Sonia is just still like, how many times are we just going to watch her, you know, be belligerent?
And I love her so much, but
I know, love her, but like,
but we've seen, it's like seeing Elton John play Rocket Man again and again and again. Like we've seen her do her greatest hit again. And think about it, Luann, I watched this entire season. Luann will always have her cabaret. And I love that they're opening it up to these like, Ultimate Girls Trips. Like we can still have them go in this other universe shit, like fan them out to like Summer House, Winter Lucky Charm or whatever you need to do. But like, they don't need to be on this main show. And I think Beverly Hills, like you see how reinvigorated it was by like, you know, a criminal trial and a couple new cast members or a criminal activity and a couple new cast members. I think New York, you're one season away from it being great again, just depending on casting.
Yeah, it's so dependent on casting. Like, they clearly just got it freaking wrong this season.
But even
so
like Leah McSweeney's on there. She could have brought in like Azealia Banks, who she supposedly hangs out with, and Kat Marnell. Like, I would love to see what what it's like for somebody of Leah's supposed stature and streetwear to hang out with those girls.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Oh my God. Yeah. Like I would be so open to, like, you know, I know that Leah was a flop this season, but like, I just think the dynamics were so off. And I think just with different dynamics, like Leah should stay. I don't know. Again, yeah. It's like, I'm not the Roni expert because I've never been like super passionate about Roni, but it seems like there definitely needs to be a cast shakeup. And I think the trio of Luann, Sonia, and Ramona can just go at this point.
Well, the thing is, I don't even think, like, you see Ramona posting on Friday with Luann. Like, I don't think Ramona's even cognizant of what goes on around her. Like, I don't think it would really screw Ramona up that much. Like, I don't think she's I think Luann's dependent on the show. I think Sonia is kind of dependent on the show for even a paycheck. But Ramona, I think, is just so far out there in her own la la land where I don't think she cares as much as anybody would, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think she secretly would, though.
Okay.
Like, I know she has enough going on, I'm sure. But, like, yeah, I think that Ramona always kind of felt like she was the anchor. And she really has been. She's the longest running, because even Luann, you know, was a friend of for whatever season. So she's the most expensive. She's the only OG left. I feel like, you know, it just kind of was never a question for her. And now it's kind of like, oh, it could all be taken away.
This actually spins off with Real Housewives in New York, Bethany Frankel. Bethany on the Just Be podcast this week, this was like scrubbed and then put back up there and all this stuff. But Bethany pretty much said that she knew about Tom Girardi's financial issues for multiple years now, because her ex boyfriend, Dennis, who passed away, we all knew from, prescription medication. Tom Girardi supposedly borrowed $500,000 from Dennis, and Bethany had told Andy about this, had told Kyle Richards about this. Bethany said it was very well known in the Bravo sphere between all of those people, and she had told them. And so this came out, and it made such a stir that Erica Jane's lawyers had to comment, and then Bethany had to comment and say, okay, well, I wasn't really talking specifically. I was talking, like, Bethany even backtracked. But isn't that wild if that is actually true and Bethany had even told Andy about this, that they had all known about this for years?
I mean, I believe her. Like, it sounds like it was just like an open secret. And that's what Bethany said. She was like, it was just an open secret. Like, everyone knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And Erica's now playing dumb. Like, it just, it undermines Erica's story even more of her not knowing shit. The fact that everyone knew, like, come on.
Well, after this week's episode, I went up to Pasadena and I tried to recreate the snowy conditions, and I did flip my car 5 times. So it is possible to flip your car. And I also confronted a burglar, and I also had glaucoma, and they had to take me to the hospital. But by the way, did you even see the police reports on that? Is that that actually happened, but Tom was not injured? That was a whole separate thing. So Erica is weirdly combining stories, and, you know, and
I love how she also was like, it happened on Saturday.
That's the ticket. Saturday. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's it. Saturday. It's like, do you remember or something? Like, what do you know? Yeah, it happened Saturday. And it's like, what? Like, she's so just lying, and she can't like make eye contact when she's like telling her lies. Like, it's so obvious that she's lying. I can't believe anyone believes her.
I read this somewhere on Twitter. Somebody was like, it was like she was saying it so fast, trying not to forget anything. Of like, yeah, there was a car accident, and he came out of the burglar, and then he's kind of surgery, and then my son flipped the car 5 times. I gotta do it really quick before I forget everything. And it was
and Kyle was just like,
huh? Yikes. And I just love that you're right. She couldn't make eye contact. She couldn't do anything. But at the same time, you get this kind of sense that she has this gleeful of like, I did it. I made them believe me, you know? And it's.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think she thinks she outsmarted the audience, where I swear to God, I think she thought we would buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Yes. Okay. So that's a thing called duper's delight, where like,
wait, what?
It's called duper's delight. It's like when a manipulative or narcissistic person, like, they lie and they're like, oh, I got away with it. They're buying it. And then they give a little smirk. There was one scene where she was talking about like the car accident or something just serious. And she like, there was like a little smirk after she told the story. It's like, she always has this duper's delight face on. Like, she thinks that she is getting away with it. And that's obviously how she thought the season was going to go and how, you know, Kyle and co probably thought it was going to go, which is why they're backing her up so hard. And I think also, you know, the PK and Mauricio dinner, which is hilarious.
I work on the ankle. Don't do the brain. Work on the ankle.
No, not the brain. Do the ankle.
But by the way, I was I mean, that to me was the realest scene of the entire thing. Because I was like, that's what we do. We think this is so ridiculous.
And Mauricio,
you know,
was losing it. I was like, that scene completely exemplifies why I could just like so hang out with high Mauricio all day long.
How does he run such a like, you know, that's the only thing I think every time I see Mauricio is like, he looks like he's having the time of his life. He's high as a kite all the time. And I just sit there jealous because I'm like, how does he run a successful business and he's high all the time? Like,
that's
that's
how he unwinds. You know, he's productive during the day. And then at night he unwinds with, you know, some bong hits.
I still do think it's funny of like, supposedly, and this is what's so dark, you guys, we talked about this before, but they have a show in development with PK and Mauricio that involves London real estate. And in this past week's episode, we have this scene out back at PK and Dorit's place where PK Mauricio is like, tell him about all that money you lost, billions. And he goes, yeah, I lost $250 million for other. Like, and we're all just laughing about losing other people's money. And that's why it's so dark, is because PK knows Tom and Erica are frauds because he's been a fraud, you know?
I know. Oh my God. I'm so conflicted about PK because these episodes are making me love him.
Yeah, but you girls are, let's always say, you girls are so horned up. Like, some guy does two good things in a row and you're like, oh, I'd give anything to be with him. Like,
the standards are so low. But no, but that was like a scene. There aren't many Housewives scenes where I'm like, I want to be there hanging out with them. Like, every time I watch Potomac, I'm like, I want to hang out with them. But like, usually I'm like, I'm fine watching at a distance. But like, that dinner, I was like, I want to hang out with them. I want to hang out with Mauricio and PK and Kyle and Dorit even. Like, and just talk shit about Erica. But it also, like, it makes it even more embarrassing for Kyle because she clearly is, she's the two-faced one. Like, yeah. Her calling Sutton two-faced, she knows these stories are bullshit. She knows it. She's laughing about it behind Erica's back. Like,
there's no real money, I believe. That's why I'm saying even the Bethany thing, like, they all tell these tales of like, guess who's in financial dire straits this week? It's like, think about Elizabeth Holmes from Theranos, who was on trial this week. You know, she lost how many billions of dollars for investors? Like, it's all lies. Like, tell me one person who makes real money. And I'm like, I think Mauricio does, but at the same time, I guess maybe it wouldn't surprise me a decade later to realize that they're in financial straits themselves, you know?
But Mauricio's been involved with some sketchy stuff apparently too.
Yeah. But he's good looking, so he gets a pass. Yeah.
I don't know. Until it comes out or it's addressed on the show, really, like, it's still kind of just, I don't know much about it. So, yeah.
Well, we're four or five episodes away from the reunion. And we talked a little bit about the reunion this past week, but I do want to like catch everybody. Like, I want to emotionally prepare people. Like, it's going to hurt when this show ends this season. Like, be prepared. And we're going into daylight savings time being taken away from us. So it's going to get dark for a lot of people really quick with this show ending. So try to find something to replace it. We have Real Housewives of Salt Lake. We have Real Housewives of New Jersey. I think you're going to start seeing a preview coming up. Guys, these are the ads I was speaking about, and we have two companies that have been with me before, and this first one, this is the second time they've been with us, and I love this product, and I love this company. It's Osea. So it is so difficult, you guys, to find clean skincare products that are good for your skin and the planet, but also give you the results you want. So luckily, Osea has been making products that do just that for over 25 years. And when it comes to clean beauty, Osea is the pioneer. They have award-winning cleansers, serums, and face moisturizers. Now, I'm going to mansplain to all of you ladies what all of these products are. No, it's so funny. I told you about these guys, this company a couple weeks ago when they first were on, and they actually did an onboarding call with me where they went through and explained all of the products and sent me the products. And then I talked to my female friends, my friend Megan, my friend Rebecca, and, you know, my friend Rebecca actually already uses these products, but I realize how important it is to actually have a skincare regime. And I know you ladies already have yours, but I think that this actually might be a product that you might want to add to it. So Osea is actually known for creating amazing body products as well, like their famous Undaria Algae Body Oil. So the Undaria Algae Body Oil is amazing. I use it myself now, and it leaves my skin feeling clean and rich, not sticky or oily. And especially you guys, after I've been sick, this is a product that has actually made me feel better because I felt so gross, like a slug on a rug, and it was horrible. So I know what you're thinking. Body oil? If you've been using body lotion for years, you might be a little wary of body oils. But let me tell you, I'm a convert. It soaks in easily, and it has this really kind of amazing citrus smell. And I can even smell this because remember, I had COVID over the holidays and it took a majority of my smell away. I can actually smell this. And I can't tell you how soft and smooth my skin feels after I put it on. In fact, if you see me in public, say, Ryan, can I feel your skin? And I will let you feel the smoothness, the silkiness of my skin. So Osea's products are clean, vegan, and cruelty-free, climate-neutral, created with sustainability-sourced seaweed, and made in California. And also, there's a motorcycle that's driving right outside my house. But also, listen to that. Clean, vegan, cruelty-free, climate-neutral, created with sustainability-sourced seaweed, and made in good old California. Those are so many important things right there. Vegan and cruelty-free is huge. Climate neutral, I mean, that's what we've got to be doing in the future, and this is a company that supports all of this. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. So experience your new favorite clean skincare line with a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order with promo code SOGOOD. Finally, a company has not used so bad, they've used so good as our promo code. That's SOGOOD at OSEAMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. You are going to want it all. Go to OSEAMALIBU.com and use code SOBAD. Hell yeah, you guys. And also, this podcast is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? Goals are so important, and this is something that you can actually talk about your therapist with. It's important to actually have somebody that you can actually speak out loud your experience of life, of what you're trying to accomplish, of what you're trying to get through, of what is holding you back. And BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. And let me be clear, it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. So there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. In fact, I get so many people now that like will DM me or email and they're listening like Belgium, Italy. And I'm just like, whoa. But also you could actually use this service there. You can log into your account anytime and you can send a message to your therapist. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It is more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. Those are two huge things. We should not have to ever be priced out of getting help. And BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/SoBad. That's BetterHelp. And join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Special offer for So Bad It's Good listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/SoBad. That's BetterHelp.com/SoBad. You guys, that is the commercials for the week. Let us get back to our pop culture roundup with Miss Sophie Ross. Bye. Vanderpump Rules comes back in a week and a half. And I was talking with the Watch What Crappens guys. What are your hopes? I mean, because this premiere is not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday for Vanderpump Rules. And I'm hearing that Sheena's boyfriend, who she had the baby with, Brock, who he looks like, I've never seen somebody look more like a Brock in my life. And supposedly he does a really good Jax. Like he supposedly fills in that role really nicely.
Oh,
in the Jax,
really?
Which kind of excites me if that's true.
Oh, I'm excited for that then. That, you know, it's not because we always kind of, you know, and Sheena was kind of hoping she would end up with just that fairy tale Prince Charming guy. And
yeah,
if he's going to get a Jax at it.
Yeah, like, oh, wouldn't that be amazing? God. If like, because supposedly they come at it, because remember, he has kids that he has not seen for over, you know, a year and a half or potentially 2 years because of the pandemic. And I think they all question him on that and stuff. So the show does need a villain. So I'm going, I mean, which, by the way, did you, speaking of Jax, he did a quote unquote all-star golf tournament today, a Sunday with Mauricio, with Shep, with a bunch of like kind of B-rate people. But like, you get the sense that like Jax needs this, like to be a part of like celebrity tournaments.
Oh,
like, he
yeah.
needs it for his ego, you know?
Oh, for sure. Oh my God. Like, we know that he's gonna act like everything's fine on the surface and that he chose to walk away from the show to focus on his family.
Yeah.
But as the show premieres and everyone else is getting attention without him, oh my God, he's gonna go crazy. He's gonna be so full of rage while the show is airing. Oh my God.
Well, don't you kind of want to know though from the other cast members of like, my honest question would be like, I'm sure you're glad in a lot of ways he's gone, but is it kind of hard because it sometimes puts more pressure on you guys to actually create drama when he was just such a one man buffoon that cheated and lied and it kind of made things easier in some ways for a reality show?
I mean, that could be, you know, that's a good point, but I feel like between, you know, the people they have on the cast now, I feel like there's, you know, good components for drama. You have James Kennedy, like, I feel like James is like always a good source for drama too.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful about it. I'm like, the trailer got me excited. I'm excited about it. It's been off the air for like a long, like over a year now, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely over a year. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I'm ready. It's been so long.
Yeah. I just, it's like when something's away for so long, it does have to compete with like, they're coming into potentially a new landscape in certain ways that we've learned to go on about our lives without Vanderpump Rules. And yeah. I know that sounds like silly potentially, but it's true. Like, you know, it's
no,
like,
it's true.
You know,
yeah. You, it's like, you always fear like becoming irrelevant if your show is like, you know, delayed or canceled or whatever it is. It's like, yeah, it's been a really long, cause they didn't know what they were going to do for a while after season 8 wrapped. Cause there was just like so much drama. It was such a bad season. Like, yeah. So it's very, it's been a long time without Pump Rules. I almost like, I like forget what it's even like. It's
yeah. Been so long. Well, and also, you know, it's just cause the things that are real that I actually want, I really am excited to see Sheena be a mom because you just know she's going to be like, she's wanted to be a mom for so long, but there's also that element of she's going to be like the biggest stage mom ever. Like there's just elements of it that I think will be potentially hysterical to watch, hopefully. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but you just know how Sheena is about things. So I'm really curious to see what she's like in all of her glory.
I know. I'm excited. I actually was rewatching season 6 the other day.
Was that's the one where Jax admitted he got busted at the beginning for Faith, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And oh my God, I cannot believe Brittany still married him after that.
That's what I'm like.
With the phone recording of him talking shit about Brittany to Faith.
Calling her a fat and like he didn't want to have a kid with her. He didn't want, you know, to be a father and stuff. Like that's dark shit, you know?
Yeah, it was fucked up. And then everyone got mad about it and Ariana was like, it's not on my phone! alone.
Listen, like Tom Sandoval, I try to do an act like he has this like little baby lisp that nobody picks up on. He's just like, he's like, I'm very excited about Tom Tom. Like, I can't do it, but it's like, it's so passionate. He's
a lot of work in the Tom Tom. And I'm just excited to see all of our hard work come to fruition. Even if Stassi's going to start drama at the opening. That kind of is a no way, Tom Sandoval. No.
Did you? Yeah, no, I mean, it's, but I'm thinking about when Lisa said, I want to give you guys a bar. It'll be called Tom Tom. And it was at, I believe it was at Schwartz's wedding. And Schwartz is so lazy that he was like, I'm not sure if I can do that. Do you remember that? I was like, so The Bachelor in Paradise, which airs only on Tuesdays now, they went from two a week to one a week, which is sad. But we talked about last week about the dude that lost 100,000 followers in 2 weeks.
Yes, Brendan.
Brendan. So Brendan finally released an actual apology video, which was 7.5 minutes long. And it's always amazing when somebody comes out looking worse after their apology video.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Well, it's just like, it's like too long. And it's like, you could just say you're sorry. But he was like, listen, people are saying I was going after followers. And if that was true, I would date somebody with 1 million followers. And like, he was trying to make himself look noble for not dating somebody with a lot of followers.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so embarrassing. And also he was like, I didn't know that, you know, Natasha was going to be so heartbroken after, you know, just a few days. Like, what an asshole. He was still trying to make it seem like she was like crazy and overreacting. Well, like, just such an asshole.
I mean, he had the bad luck of picking somebody that is not letting this go. She's not letting this go. Oh, did I lose you?
Yeah, I mean... I think for a second I'm
okay. Cool. Okay.
Okay. Am I back?
Okay. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think at some point Natasha, you know, does kind of need to let it go, but, I think that fans are just mad. You know, I think fans are like encouraging her because they're so mad on her behalf. Like, fans are angry enough to go around. So it's not even Natasha having to really fuel the flames, but yeah, eventually, yes. I think that, you know, like, it's kind of like, yeah, let's move on. Brendan and Piper, let them become irrelevant.
Well, it's just like, you're then you're pretending that contestants on The Bachelor and Bachelorette really mean something to begin with. Like, Brendan is pretty much apologizing with the of like, yo, will you refollow me so I can get brand deals? Like, it's like he's not doing important research in like any kind of humanities that we would actually help. Like, so he's basically just going, yo, it's gone too far and it's affecting my money now, and I don't really have any talent, but I'm exceptionally good looking and I really fucked up and I'm so sorry. And it's like, I mean, it just shows how ridiculous this all is to begin with, you know?
Yeah, it really is. It really is like absurd. But yeah, he wouldn't have apologized if he hadn't been down so many followers. Like, yeah, that's clearly the only reason he bothered to apologize.
Do you ever watch Bachelor in Paradise and try to fantasize about which ones have gotten vaccinated and which ones haven't?
I just assume they probably all had to be vaccinated to film it.
I personally,
maybe that's ignorant of me, but I just assumed it.
Yeah. Well, because we were talking about the Met Ball and potentially who did and didn't get vaccinated. And then the whole Nicki Minaj thing, which who knew Nicki Minaj could literally break down governments? Like, she's
God.
And like, also, like, Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend got big balls from getting vaccinated, which is just like, well, I'll get double vax then. I want huge balls. But it's just like, we're actually taking this. What kind of Black Mirror weird life are we living that Nicki Minaj can put this shit out? And people like Barbs, Nicki Minaj's fan base, went and protested at the CDC this weekend.
Yeah, she's really torpedoing her career with all this stuff. And also the stuff around like her husband, who's like a rapist, apparently. Like,
yeah,
just completely just so, so dumb, completely torpedoing her career, spiraling in front of our eyes. Just so.
Wait, but is she though? What scares me is that, is it torpedoing? Because she still has all these fans of going like, yay, Nicki, we support your ignorance. Yeah. Like, that's what scares me, is that you hear all of these people then agreeing with this and you're just like,
whoa, like she probably, like, I mean, part of the theory on this, like you said, is her, she's just kind of making noise to kind of distract from her husband's like actual shit of like raping an underage girl.
Yeah, that's definitely a theory. I think that, you know, she has so many diehard stans, the Barbs.
Yeah.
Barbs are like very, 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 very loyal to their queen. It doesn't matter what she says. So yeah, I feel like a lot of the people that are like defending her, just, you know, her diehard stans, but otherwise I just think it's super embarrassing. Everything about it, just so irresponsible, just such a bad look. Yeah, just terrible.
Hey, if I paid for you to go, would you go on October 27th to Caroline's on Broadway to see Joey Gorga do a night of stand-up?
Oh my God, absolutely.
Would you really? Would you do a report for me?
100%.
Okay, yeah, because he's doing an evening of, he goes, and it says, the comedy of Joe Gorga. And it's not even Joey Gorga, it's Joe Gorga, and it's the comedy of Joe Gorga. And he did a video in front of Caroline's. He's like, I'm going to be at Caroline's October 27th. You know, and it just, could you imagine what his stand-up's like?
Oh my God. The comedy?
The comedy, like, stylings of Joe Gorga, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
He's please, like, hey, hickory dickory duck, I'm fucking Melissa. Ah! Hey-o!
Oh my God. That is hilarious.
But like at the same time, I'd really want to see it, you know?
I just don't, you should come in town for it. That's what you
what if he steals Chris Rock's act or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can be his newest groupie. His travel.
What if you, wait, how much would it cost if I got you to heckle Joe Gorga?
Oh my God, no. I want to get like blackballed from
So I want you to do that. This actually is sad news. This actually happened right before we talked. Gabby Pepito, who is the van life girl that was missing, they supposedly found a body that is not DNA test result yet, but they say that it pretty much is the body of the missing van life girl. But it's and this guy Brian, who was her boyfriend in all the YouTube videos. So there was this girl, you guys probably already know about this stuff, but she was doing YouTube, like they converted a van, and she was a very young girl with her boyfriend Brian, and she went missing. He returned home. He wouldn't answer any cops questions. His family protected him. And then supposedly as of Tuesday evening, this kid, Brian, went missing. They just found the body today, supposedly. And this guy is missing. And we all know how these stories end. Like, it's like, we know, I mean, allegedly there's no doubt in my mind that this guy did it, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. It's absurd that they even, you know, let him go missing or whatever.
Yeah, like, how does that even happen where, and like, shouldn't
hiding him? And apparently his family is like super rich. So they have the connections. He has a very expensive lawyer. He's like, you know, in hiding somewhere. It's just, yeah, he should have never, ever been able to go missing to begin with. And it's just.
But it's crazy that we have all this footage of her on her YouTube channel. And we even have police footage of when, you know, there was an incident between them where they had been fighting. The cops have all this footage, you know, this was like months ago. And it's like really chilling to have all of this video evidence. And you would think if somebody's putting up YouTube channel stuff that like there's this weird protection that you wouldn't go missing, or, you know, like that you're out there in the open, and it just shows you, like, and also it just goes to show you men are like, I mean, I know this is Louis C.K. is not, you know, acceptable anymore, but he had that one joke of like, men truly are the number one death of women in this country. You know, like, we are, men are the number one threat to women in this country. And that is just so fucking scary to be a woman and to realize that, you know?
Oh yeah, it's true. And I mean, if you watch that video of when they got pulled over for some like domestic thing, it's very chilling. It was like, you know, she was crying and clearly upset because she said they had been fighting, and he was just so calm and cool.
Yes. Yes.
And that is such a red flag of like a manipulative man making the girl look crazy and unhinged, and she's crying and he's so calm.
Yeah. Like look at her. She's crying. She's freaking out. Like, yeah, you know, but you know, what's so funny is that you talk to any girl, and it's like, they all have a story of not a guy being potentially abusive, but a guy being jealous, a guy being, you know, it's like, this is, girls are so used to this behavior in men that it, and not that it's acceptable, but it's not shocking to women to watch any of this.
Yeah. And domestic abuse is like a huge, huge problem. And I think if anything, that this case kind of like sheds a light on it. Also, he was like, he's like 37. She was
20. Is he 37? Really? I didn't know that.
Like that. I'm pretty sure. And yeah, she is 22. Like, just, yeah, looking at that video, it just gives you like the chills that this clearly was not, you know, a healthy relationship. He's clearly responsible. There's no question about it. And yeah, it's fucked up that they, you know, kind of botched this and like let him go into hiding. Like, he should have been immediately, you know, freaking, but the, again, like, he has expensive lawyers. He has family money. Like, yeah, wow. It's a whole web.
Well, and the other thing too, is that somebody pointed out that how much TikTokers have helped with this case of like, TikTokers really made this story kind of have legs, which, you know, you could also talk about, well, it's like a white woman, white girl, da da da, and, you know, but it's interesting that a social media can like kind of take hold, and all of these, you know, we're living in this day and age of whether it be like podcast detectives or TikTok detectives. And you're just like, man, I hope when the time comes when somebody fucks with me, TikTokers are behind my back, like getting out. Like, I mean, think about it. A lot of the work you do is like research and all that stuff and kind of digging through the internet.
Well, I think also, yeah, anytime a case like this gets viral attention. And if you look on like the comment section of the missing boyfriend, like there are so many people out there that are like just following this because it went viral. All of these like keyboard warriors, they are going to be calling that police station, picketing in front of his house. Like they have no choice but to like move on this because the public pressure in all of these people. And I say keyboard warriors, not in like, I know a lot of people use that as like, you know, an insult. I mean, it kind of like in a term of endearment, like there are so many people that are so passionate about this and, you know, they want justice for Gabby and they want this freaking boyfriend, whatever his name is, Brian, I think, to be responsible and freaking found. And yeah, it's like they have their foot on the necks of, you know, the people in charge of investigating this. And yeah, without that public pressure, it's like, yeah, who knows where things would be. Of course, that really like, you know, boosts the national attention and the pressure on the police department for sure.
I just hope that his parents, his family didn't let him go, you know, go off and kill himself on his own terms. Like, I want him to be brought to justice. And I hope he didn't go get to like kill himself at his,
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, see, that's what I thought about immediately was that like,
that and like I really hope that's not the case. I also am thinking that, you know, he is probably like a manipulative sociopathic narcissist, and I think that a lot of the time narcissists are too, you know,
yeah, they won't be able to do that.
So my guess is that, you know, he's just trying to escape the country if he hasn't already.
I mean, the killing thing is that like you want him to be brought to justice, but at the same time, you know, we finally got I think this was on Friday as well, Robert Durst, you guys, he was responsible for the murder of Susan Berman. And if you don't know Robert Durst, he was the subject of the HBO documentary. What was it called? The Jinx, which came out, you guys, like 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And literally the final episode, he has his mic still on going to the bathroom. And he's like, of course I killed her. Like he's talking to himself.
Killed them all, of course.
And it was the most eeriest thing.
Talking to himself. Oh my God, it was so scary. He was like, what did you do? Kill them all, of course.
But my thing is, like, we had a confession and just this past Friday, a guilty verdict was put down. It's like the wheels of justice move so slow. You can literally have all the evidence in the world, and this guy still has been living in not the lap of luxury. He's obviously in jail, but I've seen his jail. Like, he was able to have like a lot of books and newspapers. And I was just like, it kind of looks like my room a little bit. And like, I just like, it's like, that's why I'm like, I want this guy to be brought to justice. But at the same time, 7 years, if I'm going to watch this guy who definitely probably killed Gabby Pepito get 7 years before he gets a guilty verdict. I mean, it's hard not to be incredibly frustrated with our, you know, the judicial system sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The justice system in the U.S. is so fucked and so slow and broken. And yeah, it's a disaster. I mean, you know, like, you could argue that it's a good thing that, you know, people aren't abruptly like charged with things right away, because there are a lot of people that get falsely accused or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's like, but yeah, there are so many fucked up things about the justice system that really like piss me off, and hopefully it doesn't take too long. I think the biggest fear that I kind of had with this case is that they wouldn't find her body. And when they don't have, you know what they say, like no body, no crime. If they can't find a body, they can't really charge anyone. And, you know, more often than not. So now that they have the body, hopefully, you know, now they just have to freaking find him. Yeah. But if they didn't have a body, there's no closure for the family. He could potentially have a greater chance of like getting away with it. So the fact that they have her body, it's kind of, you know, it's horrible that, you know, she wasn't found alive, obviously, but it brings closure to the family, and it hopefully gets, you know, them one step closer to like freaking charging him officially.
Now, unhappier news, we're less than a week away from two best friends getting married. Next weekend, Amanda Batula and Kyle Cook from the show Summer House are getting married. Now, you're a part of Big Summer House, which is a affiliation that pays you to speak positively about Kyle and Amanda and Lindsay and all of those guys. Now, will you be going to this wedding next weekend?
Oh my God, I fucking wish. It's Did you see that? Like, it looked like Amanda posted something. Yeah. It was like, get better soon. Like, they may have gotten COVID or something.
That's what, okay. So a couple people DM'd me about this. My friend Marissa and a couple of saying that supposedly something was put up for a second on an Instagram story saying that they both had COVID. And then there was like a shot of like Lindsay and Danielle had sent them flowers saying, get better soon. So I don't know if that was true or not, if they got COVID or not, but they both did separate postings, I think yesterday, saying I get to marry my best friend. So even if they have COVID, they seem like they're still decently happy. So hopefully
3 years in the making.
Well, then I was like, how happy would Hannah be if they both had COVID?
Oh my God.
You know, she was like, be really happy.
Oh God.
Did you see this weekend that, Paige went to a wedding as Craig's date at Craig's friend's wedding. Yeah.
Yes. It's looking more and more like they're like definitely an item.
Yeah. But it looks like Craig's an item with a lot of people to me, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. There were also like the rumors of him and Naomi reconciling. So I don't know. Again, it's like, it could just be for like attention, but
if you're that good looking, it seems like people just go up to Craig and go, I would like to offer my body to you. Like, it seems like he's that guy. They just like, he gets bodies offered to him, you know?
I mean, maybe. I probably wouldn't offer my body to the pillow.
Well, you would do it to Austin. Yeah. The tall boy.
Austin would have a better chance of bagging me.
Dude, that, I'm sorry. Austin did it again where he went in somebody else. I think it was Cocktails and Gossip or Bravo and Cocktails. Like, he dipped into their DMs of like, this was like Dumois did a spotting or something. He's like, this is not true at all. I have not hung out with Shep in ages. And I'm like, dude, this guy that's like actively going into DMs and like tossing with people, like, that's wild, you know? Oh, no. Like, he really cares, it seems like.
I know he does, which is like very unattractive. He cares so much.
I hope he like reaches out to us at a certain point, but you've met him, haven't you, a couple times?
Oh, just briefly once. I would love that. Yeah. Let's have Austin on.
It would be funny to actually be able to talk realistically with these people of like, Austin, why do you care what anybody says? Like, you have lucked out so hard, you know?
Ryan, remember when we were DMing Luke? We never had Luke on.
Oh, by the way, now would be a perfect time to have Luke before the new season comes out and be like, are you working
intel on him?
Are you working on any new music, Luke? Is there anything you're bringing into Summer House? Because he probably is working on new music with the guitar and stuff, you know?
He's probably still working on Suit and Tie.
he said he was going into the studio to record that. And we don't, like, you were on that DM with me when he was like, I'm going into the studio to record it. And he said he would give me the copy of it. And he never did.
Suit and tie.
Hair slicked back.
Drives me wild.
Wait, did you see Sierra hug him in like a photo? And I'm like, oh, it looks like they're like being nice to each other again. You know,
yeah, it looks like everyone is like, you know, all hunky dory without Hannah, honestly.
It'll be interesting. I see Giggly Squad. They're doing live podcast dates, which I find interesting. A couple of other things I wanted to bring up before we go away. I know it's never, it's always, this goes so quick. This is actually really special. Farrah Abraham, I don't know if you're aware of her from Teen Mom. She said she went to Harvard recently, and then Harvard said she was not a student there. And so now she says Harvard is racist and she is going to now attend Yale, which is, this is exactly how I went to Arizona State University. This is like very, but she said, like, I guess she was taking like a Harvard online course or something. And then she put on her LinkedIn that she was a Harvard student. And Farrah said that she's a wanted woman now that she secured her transcript from Harvard. And she told us with a straight face, Yale and several other law schools are recruiting her. Now, I've only went to ASU. Do law schools actively recruit like football teams?
I think actually, like, on LinkedIn, I'll randomly get messages from like business schools or like online schools. It was probably like Harvard University of, you know, Florida. Like, that's what it was probably like an online, like, you know, Phoenix U, but
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
Harvard name, like, to scam people. I'm sure. I can see it now. They probably like DM'd her on LinkedIn, and yeah, I'm sure.
So Farrah trashed Harvard over what she says was a horrible experience with their online program. And she's even threatened a lawsuit against Harvard. Farrah tells us what type of law she would like to practice one day. Here's a hint. Anything goes. So this will be interesting. We'll keep you posted about this. It looks like she might sue Harvard, but it looks like she is, she wants to do Yale because they have a very diverse program. And so far she does have a good background in schooling so far. She has a bachelor's degree from the Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale, which I've heard great things about. And so I guess that's a good feeder system into Harvard and Yale for Fort Lauderdale schools.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. David Spade says cancel culture has made his jokes dry. I'm not as funny anymore. Now, I find this really disappointing because I think David Spade is actually my favorite host on Bachelor in Paradise. See, but I just,
so funny.
Like, I would love to see him as like the Chris Harrison. Like, I think he is just really, really well suited.
Yeah, I don't get why people were like liking Lance Bass and even like Wells. Like I said, I'm like, I do not get why people think Wells is funny.
No offense, Wells. I know you're on the same podcasting network, but you kind of come off like a drip on that show. And like, there, even my buddy Tug was my buddy Tug's super into sports, but he watches Bachelor in Paradise, and he'll text me and go, "Man, this Wells, you can't get a beat on this guy's personality. There's nothing there, you know."
Exactly, and everyone's like, "Wells for host." I'm like, "Why?"
Because he looks kind of cute, I guess. I think that's what people are responding to.
I don't understand. I truly don't get it.
But David Spade actually has personality. He can think quick on his feet.
I like the dryness. Like, he's just so funny. Like, he makes it like it's not a serious thing, and he just like makes it funny.
Well, I just don't like when comedians complain about cancel culture, because I'm just like, that's so dumb. Like, David, you know, like, I don't think it affects David, you're not allowed to say the R word. You're not allowed to say the, you know, like, come on. Like, I think sometimes cancel culture actually helps comedians because it makes you think outside the box. And I was listening, like, rest in peace, Norm Macdonald. He really, truly was this special, amazing comedian that I always loved. But I went back and I was like, I watched like an hour and a half of YouTube clips of Norm Macdonald, and there was a lot of things that he would say. He would be like, "Ah, those gays over there, you're one of those gays." He would do that like 15 years ago, and it's like, that shit isn't acceptable now. And even that you watch it and you're like, "Ugh, that gives me a gross feeling," but you also know that people can grow past that kind of like that sense of humor or what once was funny. But like, you don't have to complain about it. Like, it's just like, we grow and we evolve, you know?
Yeah, it's such a cop out when comedians complain about that. It's like, you don't. Okay, so your sense of humor is about offending people. If you feel so limited that you all of a sudden can't offend people, like,
yeah, that's what you're saying. Is that also you're saying I'm so lazy, I want to continue to do the same material that I've done for 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, this is good. Now you're a fan of the Olivia Rodrigo, right?
Yeah.
Do you know two girls beat the shit out of each other at an Olivia Rodrigo concert this during driver's license? A mom started fighting with another woman in the audience during driver's license being played. And there's a good clip of it on TMZ where the little girl, the mom's like hitting this other lady and the other lady's hitting the, and the little girl that's with the mom is like, no, my mom. And I just think it's so funny of like, you know, this summer, get your ass kicked at Olivia Rodrigo. Like, driver's license is a sad song.
What were they fighting over?
I think like position to see Olivia Rodrigo. Like,
oh my God.
But it would be cool if like that does become like a thing at Olivia Rodrigo concerts, like during driver's license, it's like beat the shit out of your neighbor next to you, you know?
Well, you always see like the fights in like NFL stadiums and like college day, and now it's like Olivia Rodrigo.
Yes.
Moms.
Wait, have you ever gotten into a fight at a concert?
No, I've not gotten into a fight. I'm sure I've been like sassy and drunk. But no, I've never been in like a physical fight in my life.
I once took a boot to the head at a Pearl Jam concert. And I mean, it wasn't on purpose. Like and it was like, that was like the first and last time I ever like moshed, you know, because I was like, oh, that actually hurts, you know?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't survive thing. In there. Yeah.
This is great news. Grimes, who is with Elon Musk and they had a baby that I can't pronounce the baby's name. Grimes let us know this week that her baby doesn't call her mom. Her baby calls her Grimes.
Yeah. Like, okay. She was like, I can't connect with the word mother.
But also like, just imagining a bit like, hello, Grimes. I would like my feeding now.
Yeah. And the baby, isn't the baby like how old now? Like
9 or 10 months or something like that. How is the baby even speaking?
Prime, yes. Prime. No, I can't even talk yet. Shut up.
Dear Evan Hansen, I believe, comes out this Friday. Ben Platt plays a 45-year-old man who goes back to high school. And by the way, I've never seen this musical. I swear to God, I thought it was about a kid that came out at high school and then killed himself. And it turns out, my friend was saying it's not about that at all.
No, it's not about that. I saw it on Broadway and I actually, unpopular opinion, I fell asleep at the Broadway show. I was never like a huge fan. The music is okay.
I like that Waiting on the Window song. The window. Yeah, that's I like that song. Yeah, it's really
But sad. Yeah, it's so funny reading all the reviews about how like, all the makeup they put on him to try to make him look younger actually like aged him, because they put on all this like heavy foundation that like sank into his wrinkles, and they filmed all under fluorescent lighting. And
his hair looks really bad. Like his hair looks like the hair from the Broadway production was so much better than it's like they make it look like this kind of floppy hair where it does make him look like an older. It looks like the prequel to Larry Crown, that Tom Hanks movie, where it's just like this shouldn't. But I really honestly thought it was about a kid that came out in high school and then killed himself. And it's not about that at all.
No, not about that at all. And he tries to like make himself look younger in the movie by like just slouching with his backpack on. And he like just looks so stupid. I'm reading all the reviews about it and it's so freaking funny.
But could you imagine though being Ben Platt and just reading all of you're just like, it's just like that's brutal because there's nothing you can do to change it. There's nothing you can do, you know?
I know. Everyone's just like, because he is not the first nor the last 27-year-old to play a 17-year-old, but it's the fact that he just looks so old that everyone's like ripping him apart. And also it's like, I was reading that, you know, his Broadway acting is so like, you know, it doesn't, you know about this, like stage acting is obviously different than like, you know,
Film acting is really small and theater acting, you're filling a space, you know, it's not presentational per se, but it's definitely more presentational than TV and film. Like TV and film, it's like so small. Like I remember watching Sean Penn act in person. Like when I first moved to LA and I was on set and I was like, holy shit. Like that's nothing. Like the guy's doing nothing. And then you would see it on camera and you'd be like, oh my God. But it was just like, hey, Soph, what's going on? Like, it's like me and you talking, and that would be acting, you know, of like, hey, Soph, how you doing? You know?
You're like, what are you doing? I'm
a 45-year-old gay man, you know. We're very close to Demi Lovato's. They have a new UFO show on Peacock where she is they are the host of the show about UFOs. And I gotta say, that fits exactly. I've heard a couple. They had Hailey Bieber on this week on their podcast, and this Demi Lovato, they really love them. Like, I can't put my finger on. I just have not been able to get past that yogurt thing with Demi Lovato this like 8 months ago, when she complained about the yogurt store. I've never forgiven them for that, you know.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Demi Lovato is just kind of like, I think it's funny how there's like so many celebrities on Twitter that like they have their stan army that defend everything they do. And then there are celebrities on Twitter that I'm like, where are the stans? Like, they just get brutalized. And I feel like it's like Demi Lovato, Camila Cabello. Like, they're
poor Camila Cabello. And wait, did you see that clip at the Met Ball with her boyfriend? What's her boyfriend's name? The singer?
Oh, Shawn Mendes.
When Shawn Mendes was like, you're
giving Cher.
It's giving Cher vibes. And I'm like, I don't have a horse in that race. I love, you can be gay, you can be straight, you can be bisexual. I love it all. But this guy, I try not to be offensive, but like when you say it's giving Cher and you're doing it with a straight face, that comes off to me, and I know I'm going to get flack for this, it comes off to me as a very cool gay dude. And like, I don't like, maybe he doesn't realize he's gay. Like, I mean, what if he's like the biggest pussy hound ever? And like, he just does everything. It just comes off. Like, he was wearing a leather outfit and he had these suspenders around his naked body. And like, and then he was hanging out with Troye Sivan all night. You know,
Honestly, I never really subscribed. There have been rumors that have followed him about being gay for like his whole career, and I've never really subscribed to them. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't really.
Also, don't care, you know.
I'm like, I don't care either way. It's like, if he would come out, he probably would. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. But seeing that video clip, I was like, yes. He was like, oh my God, it is unbelievable when you watch it. It is actually, I was like, wait, yes. Of course, yes, obviously.
But at the same time, you know where it's like those celebrities where you're just like, oh, this dude wants attention so bad. I don't get that from him. I don't get that he's like power hungry or want, like, it's just that he just seemed like a very confident gay dude that like really like is best friends with Camila Cabello, you know?
Yeah, it's giving Cher.
It's got to play. That's what I'm saying. If I ever said that to any of my friends, I don't know. Anyways. And lastly, two things. Timothée Chalamet, who I know you're a big stan of, and you're part of the Chalamet army. What are the Chalamets called?
I think they're called, it might be the Charmy. I don't know. I never know if that's the
Army Hammer and
Hammer thing. I don't know.
Well, so this Met Ball, you guys, they are obsessed because of that. They had a couple good bathroom photos years ago with like a lot of cool celebrities in the bathroom photos. And so now everybody at the Met Ball, like, we've been inundated all week with people trying to recreate great bathroom photos. And the only thing that seems to be in part of everything is Chalamet is literally just, he must've just set up camp in the bathroom, because Chalamet seems to be a part of every one of these bathroom photos where I'm like, did this guy have the shits that night? What's going on? Why is he just in the bathroom with all the celebrities, you know?
Oh yeah. There were so many, we talked about this, but there are just so many like real A-listers missing.
Yeah.
The bathroom photos didn't really like hit.
Pop,
like
they
do. But yeah, Timmy looked great. He looked like, I loved all of like the inside the Met Gala, but I also thought it was so funny that they were all like, you know, everyone's wearing masks indoors. And then you see all the photos on film, like Kendall Jenner on film. And it's like, no one's wearing fucking masks. They're all on top of each other. It's like, yeah, I think the charade is up in terms of them trying to pretend that this was like, you know, some responsible. Everyone's wearing masks.
Like, isn't it weird that we had like Drake and Kanye release their albums back to back, and it's already, I could be mistaken, but doesn't it seem like they're both already forgotten, those albums? Like Lil Nas X's album came out this week, and I'm like, it's just funny how like the popularity of anything seems to last a week, even if you're like a superstar.
Yeah, you know? I think it is interesting how without like I don't know. I feel like in high school or whatever it was, when I was in high school in like the 2010s or before 2010, whatever you call that, the early aughts, how the radio kind of decides what songs are popular. And like, it's just whatever songs are like on the radio station that you play when you're like driving around. And now it's like,
radios don't really exist, right?
Yeah, it's like no one is getting their music decided by a radio DJ anymore. It's like songs really, really, really have to stand out in order to like become major hits these days. So yeah, I don't know. I just feel like they haven't, none of the songs have been like everywhere, like I would expect, but I still love Certified Lover Boy. I do.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it, to me is more enjoyable than Donda. But at the same time, listening to Certified Lover Boy, it just seems like Drake is bored with Drake. Like, it doesn't seem like the same excitement of like listening to Take Care and listening about like being on the cusp of celebrity and taking care of your family with your money and da da da. And it just seems like, you know, there's, you can never go back to that spot of coming up and how much better sometimes music is when you're fighting for something as opposed to when you land, you know?
He definitely follows like the same formulas all the time.
Yeah. Finally, John Mulaney, what do you think? He got Olivia Munn pregnant, and supposedly we got a rumor this week because he was married to this Anna Tendler, I believe. And, you know, she went to rehab, asked for a divorce. She was brokenhearted about that. And then supposedly, did you see that rumor that she slept with Timothy Chalamet this week?
Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, good for her.
But I love that Timothy's out there of like the rumor was saying, like, you know, John Mulaney always joked about her being in love with Timothy Chalamet. And I love the thought of Timothy going out there and doing good deeds by sleeping with, like, you know, being a part of this, like, let's get one back at Mulaney. Yeah. And I'm going to sleep with you. Like, for a 22-year-old kid, that's really cool, you know?
I think he's older than that, by the way.
He looks like he's like, this kid could be 80, he could be 20. I don't, like, did you see that, him hanging out with Larry David?
He could be in a 1,000-year-old vampire. He's 25.
Oh, he's 25?
Yeah, wow. But either way, yeah, I thought that was a little heartwarming for sure, even though I'm jealous.
Yeah, well, you'll get your chance. Also, I'm interviewing, I don't want to say when, but Ronald Richards, the lawyer who is after Erica Jayne for the money for the victims. And he's a very controversial figure in a lot of ways. But is there anything that you would want to know from him?
Oh, my God. Oh, I need time to like compile my thoughts.
Well, think about it. Think about it. I wanted to tell you because there was no way I was going to pass up that opportunity to talk to him, but I do know he's controversial in a couple of ways because he goes so hard after Erica on social media. And to me, that's, you know, very different for a lawyer to do, to be that public with things. So I'm very interested to talk to him, and I'm sure he has a wealth of information that we might not be aware of, but, I was very curious.
God. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah. So
I'll definitely think of my question.
Okay.
I have lots, I'm sure.
Sophie, we've done it once again. You have brought joy to the masses. As always, you follow Sophie on Twitter and Instagram to find out any of her writing. Hopefully there are articles in the works. Is there anything that we need to know this week?
Yes, there. I mean, I'm behind on some deadlines right now that I need to tend to. So yeah, stay tuned.
Okay. Well, we will talk to you. I'll talk to you later this week.
Yep. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.